Thank you. My name's Nikki and I'm an addict. I'm really nervous. All of a sudden, the anxiety's kicked in and the belly's doing a number on me. I've just come from a meeting from doing service and it all kicked off in the meeting. So my head's a bit, it's a bit, I just need to remove myself from that. So I'm Nikki and I'm an addict and I'm really grateful to be here and I'm really grateful that I've been asked to share at this meeting. It's always an honour to be asked to do service for NA. When you said 20 to 25 minutes, I was like, oh shit, how am I going to share for that long? It's like, Nick, you talk for England. It's not going to be a problem, you know? So I first came to NA in 2016 and I'll just share briefly about how I got here. I had been evicted from my home and my children. They're 22 and 19 now. And I got evicted from my house and for not paying my rent. You know, I was one of them users that wouldn't put gas or electric on, be sitting there in a quilt wrapped around us and stuff. Anyway, I got evicted and they put me in a hostel in New Cross Gate. And this was coming right up towards the end of my using. And this one particular night, I was on my own and I suffer with severe paranoia when I'm using. It's excruciating. You know, the doors on this hostel, they were stronger than Belmarsh prison doors. They were solid. No one was getting through them. But I'd find myself putting double-sided tape around the gap and, you know, really closing the curtains in, just all that thinking there's snipers on the roof and the shadows of people trying to get it. It was horrible. And this one night, there was plenty of drugs on the table and I was on my own and I remember having my big coat on because it was freezing. And, you know, I realised then that whatever was on that table was never, ever going to be enough for me. I was always going to want more. And my phone pinged and it was a friend that I have who's in the fellowship and I know him through our children going to the same school and stuff. So I already knew him. Anyway, he messaged me and he asked me how I was. I gave him a little bit and he asked if I would come to an NA meeting with him the following Thursday. I think just to get him off of the phone, I agreed. And he came and picked me up by four. We got the bus and he took me back to Hither Green and I've done my first NA meeting. And if I'm really, really honest, I thought it was a load of junkies blowing smoke up each other's arses. I did not believe for one second that anyone was cleaning that meeting. I thought they was all sitting there and they was all lying. Then they got up and they held hands and they'd done the serenity prayer. And it was like, what the hell is this? When coming out of that, what happened in that meeting was that people started asking for my phone number and I was so embarrassed because I only had a £10 Nokia phone. I didn't have no smartphone. I had this little £10 Nokia thing and my only connection was with the drug dealer. That's the only reason I had the phone. And that people started asking for my phone number and I felt really embarrassed when I pulled out my phone. We've left the meeting and he asked me how I felt about the meeting. I said, you know, I don't know about this. You know, it sounds a bit like the God squad, you know, the word God was used and stuff. And he said to me, don't let the word God chase you out of the room because it was the devil that chased you in. I've been coming to NA for 4.5 years now and I'm not 4.5 years clean. And that has stuck with me from my first meeting back in 2016. That's never left me. And there's no truer word spoken. It's the devil that the disease chased me into these rooms. I didn't come here happy and willingly and all that stuff. But something happened in that meeting and I found myself at a second meeting the following day. So the seed had been planted and I weren't even aware of it being planted. So I started picking up key rings, but I weren't clean. If I'm honest, I probably got 32, 33 days. Definitely got the 30-day key ring, and after that, I was still using. I was telling my children I was at meetings, and I was in a crack house. I was telling my family, look at me, I've got this key ring, you know, everything's okay. But I was being very dishonest, and you know what I've learned today is, without my honesty, it just won't work for me. I have to be honest. And something happened, and I went back to that same meeting and I surrendered and picked up my white key ring and I started my recovery over again. And I had 18 months clean time and it was good. It was a good 18 months, but all I was clean. I was still thieving. I was still lying. I was still very dishonest. all the things that were being suggested to me by a sponsor, I weren't taking none of them on. I'd do bits and pieces. I was doing step work and I'd go on Google and ask Google what the answer could be for this question, what other people's answers were. I'd copy and put down. So none of it was my own. It was all dishonesty. And I got into a relationship really early on in recovery. I was 30 days, he was 90 days, and we was together for 4 years. And I ended up moving in with my ex, and he relapsed first. And I managed to stay clean for 18 months. And, you know, I don't blame him at all. We used together and we're both addicts, and it was bound to happen, but I do not blame him, you know. I had a choice and I chose to use. When my relapse happened, I got to Brixton and it was all ego, you know. I got to this meeting and I wanted to show everyone, Facebook, the kids, my parents, the members in NA, look at me, I've got this fucking grey key ring, you know, I've got this, I'm clean, I'm 18 months, I am the woman here and all this stuff. And 3 days later, I was in work and I was smoking crack. The relapse had happened way, way before. But I picked up three. I was determined to get that 18-month key tag, and I did get it. But it meant nothing. It meant absolutely nothing. So I relapsed, and that relapse lasted 16 months. And it was, you know, I think for me, once you know about NA, you can't go to not knowing about NA. So when I'm using and I know about NA, the two just don't go together. And I know there's a solution and I'm just staying in the problem. And what happens on my relapse is the shame, it becomes a massive blocker. And it stops me from going to meetings, and then my ego and my pride and all that stuff gets in the way of me coming back. So I came back on the 1st of February and I started again. And for the first 6 months, I didn't have a sponsor. I weren't doing step work. I didn't have no service positions. And I was struggling. I was clutching at straws. And I have a lady who's my sponsor today, and she was actually at my first and second ever NA meeting. So it's mad how this stuff works. And she agreed to take me on. She wasn't going to take me on at first, because I have this thing where I want to sound good in meetings. I want to impress people. You know, I have this perfect recovery. I'm this perfect woman. And it's all bullshit. And she pointed out to me quite early on that if I'm so perfect, why do I need a sponsor, you know? And, yeah, so the nail kind of hit the head there. So I managed to come back from my relapse, and I was smoking drugs that I said I'd never touch. And what I've heard in NA is there's always a yet, and that's been the case with me. So I came back and I got my sponsor. I started doing my step work, and I'm still living with my partner then. And I knew something had changed, you know. My feelings had changed. I wasn't happy. I didn't feel like I was living. My daughter had just had a baby. I weren't present enough and all that stuff. So I made a decision. I was speaking to my sponsor. She kept giving me solutions for things that I could do. And something happened, and I ended up ringing Kairos House in, and they took me in on the 5th of January, and it's been a massive game changer towards my recovery. Huge. Leaving my partner, it was one of the hardest things that I've done clean. When I come out of a relationship, I want to fight and attack you, and I want to verbally abuse you and stuff like that, and smash the flat up and all that stuff. I didn't. I left with dignity and my head held high, and I let go with love. That's how I felt. And again, that's been another massive game changer, leaving that relationship. It wasn't serving me anything, but I was happy to stay in that relationship being unhappy because of, I'm guessing, the self-worth that I thought of myself. So, yeah, you know, I've been out of the relationship 6 months. I've been here for nearly 6 months, and I don't take my recovery lightly these days. That relapse that I had, it frightened the life out of me. And coming back, it's been so difficult. You know, this isn't something that you can play around with. It's I'm learning new stuff about myself. And I know that this program works because then people at my first ever NA meeting, there's a few of them, a good few of them there that are still clean and they're celebrating 4 or 5 years clean time. I know this stuff works. So if it can work for them, why can't it work for me? But I have to be willing. I have to take on suggestions. Service, I hate doing service. I have 2 service positions, which I attend every week. And on the days, and I thought, oh, I've got to do service, but I keep doing it. I keep going back. And I'm actually 8 months into these commitments. And in the past, I've took on commitments. I don't like that meeting no more. I ain't going no more. And I don't do the commitment. So this time I feel like I've taken on a responsibility to myself and to the meeting that I will attend that meeting week in, week out. Home group, I used to hear about this quite a lot. Home group, I never had one. I never ever had a home group. Today I have a home group and it's mad. It's a woman's meeting. And this is something that I just could never. For me to have relationships with women, it's massive. It's massive, massive stuff for me. I've always hung around with boys and stuff like that. And I got introduced to this woman's meeting. And I love this woman's meeting. I have a sponsorship family. Sorry, my sponsor brought me into a sponsorship family, and the love that we love on each other and the support and the caring. And the most important thing for me is that I'm accepted for who I am, which is something that I've always struggled with. You know, I could never accept myself. So how is other people going to accept me, you know? But today I have a beautiful sponsorship family and we had a beautiful weekend together last weekend. It was crazy. It was funny. It was just it was just beautiful. You know, there's I can't put into words how much that meant to me that weekend. It was just absolutely beautiful. It went beyond expectations. It was just beautiful. I do set work. I'm currently in a 4. I'm nearing the end of, I'm coming through it, I think, which isn't nice. It's been really painful. I've put the pen down a few times, but my willingness does kick back in and I pick it back up, or I need a little nudge from my sponsor or my friends and they say, Nikki, just get on with it. The most important thing I have as well today is the relationship I have with my children. You know, these girls, they've been dragged through my addiction from little girls, and they're women today and they have their own places and that. And I love my children without a shadow of a doubt, and they're my greatest love and my greatest weakness. But against this disease, they don't stand a chance. They don't get a mum. They just get a woman that lets them down continuously, who steals from them, who lies to them. They allow me into their life today, and the relationships are growing lovely with them. You know, I try and be a service to them. I can go there to their places and I can be quite controlling, and they pull me up on it and I have to take a step back because I don't run the show. I run no show whatsoever. This weekend, when I was out with my sponsorship family, my parents, they took my nan to back to Northampton for something, and they asked me if I would watch their house and their cat. And these are the parents that hadn't spoken to me for a long time, who have kicked me out of their home numerous times. They've rang the police on me because of the chaos that I've caused there. They give me the door key to their home and they trusted me in their home for the whole weekend. So, you know, I'm building up trust. I have a friend from the fellowship. This is mad how it all happened, because he wanted me to watch his cat for the week as well. So I've been cat watching all week. He trusted me with the keys for his home. I've been in and out of his house all week, feeding his cat. I've done a bit of housework for him and stuff like that. And at the weekend, when I was with my sponsorship family, I was really not, I was a little bit worried about being on my own, because I live in a recovery house. So there's always people here. And I was going to my mum's house and I was going to be on my own. And I was a bit worried, am I going to be all right on my own? And I asked my house manager if he would test me before I left and test me when I come back, just so I knew that that was there. And I really feel like higher power, I call my higher power God. I really believe he had me all through. He's had me all along. But this weekend, it's just shown me he knew I was going to be on my own. And that weekend of being with my sponsorship family was the same weekend my parents were going away. the God of my understanding knew I was going to be alone, and it all came together. He made sure I was safe throughout that whole weekend, with traveling, with finances, with eating, with everything. I was safe. By the Sunday, I was absolutely exhausted. I had a hospital appointment. Using didn't even come into my head, and I slept most of the day. I truly, truly believe, you know, your higher power, yours, it can be whatever. For me, it's God. You know, that's what I pray to. And for me, the power in the prayer is who I'm praying to, and I pray to God. I don't know what it looks like. It's faceless, it's anonymous, but I pray to something called God. And he's had my back the whole way along. When I left my partner, I really believe that he wanted me here. This is where I needed to be. I'll share this as well. You know, I have a love for elephants. And when I moved into this house, they brought me into the lounge, and there were six elephants, three on each windowsill. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, my God. I took a picture of it and sent it to my sponsor. And she texted back, she said, I don't know if this ain't God's will for you. I don't know what is. This is where I'm supposed to be. When I'm in the driving seat, I'm not wearing a seatbelt. I'll crash. Everything's on self-will. It's on ego and pride. When I take a step back, I buckle up, I listen. I have to learn to listen, because one of my biggest defects is probably not listening. I learn to listen, and I take on suggestions, and things work out. Things work out. You know, like I said before, this is not something to be played with. It is a matter of life or death. I've seen plenty of people lose their lives to this illness, people who have relapsed and not come back. Thankfully, this hasn't been my story. I have came back. I'm just over 16 months clean, so I've got the grey one is in sight again. But this time it's not for acknowledged, Bex, thank you. This time it's not for ego. I'm no longer on Facebook. This key tag, I've worked hard for this. This, you know, when you come into NA, for me, this was just given to me, for nothing. And it was a gift. This gift was just given to me. And when I relapsed, it weren't a gift anymore. I had to fight. I had to fight and fight and battle and battle and battle and battle. I had to be willing. And, you know, we talk about surrender. There's so many different ways of looking at surrender. For me, surrender is keep moving forward, Nikki. Keep moving forward. Just keep going forward. As long as I do not pick up, everything will be well. And so far, everything has, it's all, my life ain't great. I mean, it is great because I'm not using. I live in a recovery house. I share this house with four blokes. I can't work living here. So this is another thing that really bugs me. I think, no, I need to leave here. I need to get a job. I need to be earning money. No, you don't. You need to just take a back seat. It will happen when the boss thinks you're ready to work, not when I say. So, you know, I'm close to my daughters. They only live up the road. I have this beautiful grandson. And I was able to be at the birth when she gave birth to him. I got to cut the cord. You know, I spend a lot of time with him. And, you know, like I said, I love my children. I love them. But when I was using, I didn't feel that love. And now I have this grandson. The love I feel for this baby, it blows me away. It's like my heart's opened up a door of love that I never knew existed. And it's through this child. I can't put into words that the feeling I have for this baby. It's amazing. And just another one on the love thing is, this is whenever I go into a meeting of NA, it don't matter where the meeting is, face-to-face or Zoom, I've always been made to feel welcome. I've always felt accepted, and I've always felt love. This is where I get built up, and my journey continues. And I'm going to leave it there because I'm rambling, but I thank you so much for letting me share.